Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 66, Wee Little Bottles Part 2. I'm Judy.
I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
Alrighty, so we have four offerings today that Marlis brought back from Scotland. If you listened to our last episode, you heard her about her going to Scotland. So she will probably be throwing other info about each bottle in because she went to a lot of these places and picked these up. So we have, let's see, we have Sheep Dip. I love that name.
I know. Illich. Shoot, I didn't look up how to say it. But it's one I haven't had before, but it's a peaty guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Loch Lomond.
And then we also have
Tobermory.
Tobermory. Dram face? Well,
that's where I got the review.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyway, so we're going to start with Sheep Dip.
Good.
And which is a blend.
It's a blend. And the Sheep Dip, which I've already determined does not smell what I think Sheep Dip might smell like, is by Spencerfield Spirits, now owned by Ian McLeod Distillers Limited. Is a blend of 16 single malt whiskies purportedly between the ages of 8 and 20, although there is no 8 on the bottle. All aged in first fill ex-bourbon casks. So on the nose, we should be getting an astringent note of lemon furniture polish. It assaults the nose first, it says, with a musty overtone.
Yeah.
And the reviewer said, "By God, this actually smells like sheep dip." or more likely sheep, as my memories of sheep-related smells are in the distant past. It does not smell like what I would think a sheep would smell like. If it does, it's a very clean sheep.
Yeah, so, I would think there would be, well, yes.
Yeah, so I'm not agreeing so far. And then the guest, no, that's not a good thing. Lanolin, another sheep-related smell, and dry fungal, almost sulfury malt arrive next. No, it doesn't. I'm going to stop reading this. That is ridiculous.
It does smell. It smells. There's a nice astringent alcohol.
Yeah, that's about it. So we're going to go with our version. And we're going to forget this guy, whoever he is. All right. Oh, Scotch noob. Well, that explains a lot. Okay. smells alcohol-y. That's what we're going with. I don't get any of those other things.
Possibly because we haven't been around a lot of sheep, but
I've been to the petting zoo and farms true. And things right. And Bauhaus.
Nice. Oh, true.
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back. We have been.
We always have to get some sheep dip and to take it to Glinda and see if she thinks it smells like a sheep. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let us try the taste here. What is the palate telling us? It's kind of sweet on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
A little sweetness.
It's not horrible.
Mm-mm.
But there's a little bitterness underlying it. It doesn't have a lot of that nice kind of barley, malty sweetness. It's
It says it has sweet malty notes of caramel and toffee, joining with black licorice and root beer. No, I didn't get any of that. I mean, it does have a sweet flavor.
Caramel's faint. I'm almost getting more of a cane sugar.
I better not have any more of that.
Just kind of a sweet sugar.
Yeah, I think it's more of a cane sugar. This just tells you, if you read a review online and it says a bunch of stuff like that, try it out for yourself.
Try it anyway. Yeah, even if it doesn't sound great, you might like
because
it.
I'm not getting any of this.
And it's one of those things, I wish distillers would put out more of these little taste bottles. I mean, if you go to something like Total Wine, you can search around and they'll have maybe 6 or 8 little taste bottles of things, but they're often the things that you've already had, so it's not. Whereas it's really nice to be able to not invest, you know, your entire week's scotch budget.
Yeah,
and to be able to taste several things.
Well, the thing is it's not horrible. I mean, I've tasted much worse in our 66 episodes. I have
Scoresby
that I always thought that was pretty horrible. It doesn't have that. So
I just don't find, you know, I've had Well, usually I drink Dewars or some of the single malts from America that have more... This seems kind of thin tasting to me. I guess that's what I'm getting.
He does say something about that, but it has a thin body. It's thin bodied, he says.
And he found it boring. I don't find it boring. I mean, I think it's kind of like average.
Oh, and I am getting a kind of dusty, musty taste now.
I'm getting a bit of lanolin in the aroma, too.
Ooh.
I actually
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
The two of you can just go. Just leave.
I'm sorry.
For God's sake.
No, I'm not getting
any of that. I apologize.
Of course, I always say I don't have much of a palate, but I mean, at the same time, I usually can say, yes, this tastes good, or yes, this tastes bad. And I do not feel that it tastes as bad as this person's description.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he got a little carried away. But
And honestly, I don't know the last time I smelled lanolin, if ever, so.
And if there's caramel, it's really faint.
And I think we probably won't do a water taste because we just don't have enough of each of these. The wee small bottles are really...
They are wee small.
Yeah, so dividing it between three of us means...
They're what I call airplane bottles. So,
5 centiliters.
Centiliters, okay. Oh. Sorry, I am a horrible math person. I do not know the metric system, and I did not know what CL stood for. My brain couldn't come up with a reasonable thing. So, no judging, audience, please. Mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in math at all. All right, so next on our agenda.
Next, we have the one that I forgot to look up how to pronounce. Illich. I-L-E-A-C-H, or Illich, probably. You found a review on Whiskey Notes. It is an Islay. Raw peat. I love the things they tell you to look for in Islays. Mercurochrome, gouache paint, iodine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you know what those things taste like? Don't eat any of those things. Don't put them in your mouth.
Must be a whiskey taster sampler pack or something.
Yeah. You should get some smell of herbs and burnt grass. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, definitely Islay.
Yeah, I was going to say it smells peaty. They aren't lying about that. That was not an advertisement, or a false advertisement, I should say.
What's that one I buy over at
Finlagen?
Finlagen, yeah. It reminds me a lot of Finlagen.
Yeah, I was going to say, this smells exactly like something we've had before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we haven't had this particular one. But yeah. Anyway.
Whoa. Let me try that again.
I'm waiting to hear what the woe meant. What did you mean by woe?
Well, not necessarily a good woe.
I wish this was a video podcast.
I know.
Because the faces Marlis is making are really good right now.
I actually still like Islas, you know, and I like a Lafroig or Lagavulin or Kilcoman. But with those, I get actual, you know, sweetness along with the peat, and there's smoke. Mm-hmm. And this is just kind of a harsh smoke. Like, you're breathing in, you're at a campfire, and the smoke all of a sudden is in your face, and you're going, well.
It blows your way.
Yeah. it's supposed to have young malty notes, wet wool, and lemons. Again.
Well, we got some sheep things going on here.
Well, Scotland.
I know,
lots of
but
sheep. Yeah.
Geez.
And I just, again, wet wool, not something I taste a lot.
I like it a lot, actually.
Do you?
So Judy poured hers into mine. She doesn't like
it. Well, I don't like Islas, so I'm going to stay out of this argument.
I could drink this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, though I don't like Islas, I didn't think it was a horrible thing. I just don't like the flavor in my mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I can say. All right. Also, hints of tequila and barley sugar.
I don't think so.
No.
Not tequila, anyway.
Well, no.
Hmm.
Maybe like one of the old tequilas or mezcal or something, because it's got that, you know, the smoke might kind of send it in that direction.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right. If I were wet and cold and sitting in a pub and someone gave me this, I would not spit it out or anything. It's certainly not my favorite of the Islas, but the aftertaste isn't bad.
No, it's not. That's,
I kind of like that.
It's pretty sweet.
Again, medium long on ashes, sweet smoke, young malty notes. Now, the guy from Whiskey Notes said, because this is not its own distillery, I guess. So he said, from the nose and taste, my guess would be that it's from the Kilcommon distillery. Doesn't taste at all like Kilcommon to me. But on the other hand, that's about the only distillery of which I've tasted five-year-olds, which would be my guess for the age of the whiskey.
I think it's a terrible thing to taste. Is that even legal?
Well, with whiskey.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Whiskey matures more quickly than other life forms.
Just ask him.
He actually thinks it's fairly decent and that it's a reasonable price, which is about 25 to 30 euros, which translates reasonably into dollars. So, you know, it's not an overly expensive Isla. So, I guess I would go along with that. It's certainly not my favorite Isla, but if someone gives you a glass of it, say, oh, well, you know, we can give that a try and see what we think.
Yeah, I'm having trouble identifying individual flavors because it is very peaty and
it's very strong.
It's got, you know, some sweetness and a lot of peat and a little underlying smoke. And beyond that, I'm having trouble identifying anything. But it's still I find it tasty. And it's pretty close in price to the Finlager as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that price is pretty close.
Now, I've taken a minute to eat a bit of oat cake to cleanse my palate before we go back to some of the other things.
Yeah, but you might want to eat some.
And this one was called what?
Illek.
Illek, okay.
Illeach.
Okay.
Forgive my not knowing how to pronounce it. That was bad of me. But.
Alrighty.
Okay.
So what's next, Mr. John?
Loch Lomond. Loch Lomond Distillery is located in the Highlands of Scotland in the town of Alexandria, just south of Loch Lomond. On the nose, it says sweetness comes through first before transitioning to herbal tones with a slight smokiness. A salty minerality is also present along with a background of ash.
I was interested to see this one because when I was there, I actually got to taste a Loch Lomond, but it was one of theirs that was like finished in either port or red wine casks. I can't remember what. So, you know, this is probably their basic.
Yeah. Yeah. That would give it a definite.
And these little bottles don't have age statements on them. So I think what I looked up was like the Loch Lomond 12-year, which I assume is kind of their basic, but I'm not sure about the age of this.
Okay. Well, the aroma's pretty mild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not getting anything really strong.
Real mild sweetness. On the palate, the first impressions are of burnt salted taffy. Mm-hmm. There is confectionery sweets mixed with light smoke and char. Lighter in body with a decent mouthfeel that benefits from the 46% at ABV.
Ah.
Drinks a bit hotter than the ABV would imply. Slight bitterness on the back of the palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes my tongue burn.
So is it a little burny?
It's a little burny.
Mm-hmm. And the kind of burnt sugar thing I can see.
I got the hint of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a little drier, I mean, if that's...
Mm-hmm. This is one I would... Whiskey. Definitely put an ice cube in for me because it's a little too burny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On the finish, it's supposed to be short to medium finish, leaving some of the salty brininess behind. Imagine eating candy by the ocean. That's what we say here. This is from Whiskey Study, I guess, is the source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not bad, but not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they say the final thoughts are that this is an easy drinking scotch that isn't overly complex, but a great value even at MSRP when compared to some of the other options in this price. Although, I don't see what the price is.
I know.
You probably may not be able to get it in the U.S. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's the same thing, like with Sheep Dip and Illek. I tried to find things that didn't sound familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, now Tobermory, I think you may be able to get.
I've heard of Tobermory.
Yeah, yeah. And I found a review on Dramface for that. And I didn't print it all, so... Oh, I see. This guy on Dramface was trying to do a competition or a comparison between an Aaron 10-year and a Tobermory 12-year. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how this works. Anyway, So, for the palate, I didn't evidently get the...
No, we can do our own sniff test.
This is a little different smelling anyway.
Yeah, this is much... I like this a lot more than the last one. The Loch Lomond was... I thought it was kind of weak flavor and aroma-wise. It just didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, now the one I had was really good, but I couldn't find, you know, a teeny bottle with that.
Right, so, and that was with wine or sherry or something.
Yeah. Sherry cask.
This one's definitely more interesting.
Yeah, definitely a fuller-bodied smell. Mm-hmm. Some interesting... It's for the palate... It's soft, rounded, nicely mouth-coating. Some orange. Now, they're getting white chocolate scones and vanilla pastries. Again, I'm not, you know...
No.
Last week, we had a guy, you know, comparing a whiskey to a pear frangipani tart. And I'm like, gosh, I missed my pear frangipani tart this week, so that's not real helpful. But on the other hand, I... would like a white chocolate scone, but I don't actually have one, so there you go.
Yeah, I think I can imagine what a white chocolate scone tastes like better than the pear frangipani.
I don't think I've ever had a frangipani. Tart. Anyway, also a little peppery in this.
I'm getting that. Getting the peppery. Not sure if I'm getting white chocolate anything out of it, but maybe.
I didn't say I tasted it in here. I just said I can imagine what that tasted like.
No, I know, yeah. Okay.
But this has a nice, for me, it has a nice full, when you have it in your mouth and you're kind of swishing it around, it has a nice full flavor. You've got some caramel, you've got some oak, you've got some basic other stuff that are good things. A little bit of orange, a little bit of nut maybe, but, you know, it's a nice, is it the absolute most exciting scotch? I don't know about that, but it's pretty tasty.
I can actually imagine white chocolate in the finish. I didn't get it when I was, you know, swishing it around in my mouth, but now that it's been a minute, I can see it.
Yeah, no, it's very tasty. Yes, and the mouthfeel is very, very nice. Little, and the finish should be some distinct, should have some caramel and malt in it, and evidently just be pleasant. So, yeah, I like this. I think of the four, this would be my favorite by far. Although, for the name, I don't think you can argue with Sheep Dip, but... I saw that, and I had to buy it. It's like, I don't care what's in it. There, you have to have some. And we have now, so I don't know if that was on your bucket list exactly, but...
Well, now that we've gone through the four of them... I'm getting honey in the aroma from the sheep dip, believe it or not.
What? I drank all my sheep dip. I don't have any left to smell. Oh, okay.
See, you think. I don't know. It could just be me.
Oh,
no.
Well, and this guy did say that, to quote, "Boy, howdy, those are some awful notes fresh out of the bottle. I highly recommend letting this one sit for a bit before getting it anywhere near your olfactory senses." Now, I didn't find it that bad on the initial sniff test, but after having, you know, it sat there while we went through the other three, and I also can smell that honey.
It's like almost a honey sweetness,
Okay. Well, unlike that's nice. Most scotch, I guess there are differences of opinion as to whether one should let scotch breathe, as you do with red wine or something, or if you should just open that bottle and pour the sucker, you know.
That's it.
I've always been open the bottle and pour the sucker myself. But something to think about here, at least with some of them, because people are reacting differently to the sheep tip second time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you're not super fond of one that you tasted right from the get-go, you might... let it open up a little bit and see what happens.
It's not that I didn't like that one. I've just had way more to drink this week.
That's fine.
So I'm trying to not have a whole lot tonight.
Okay, and I just had some Tobermory with an oat cake, and that was tasty too. So.
That was the first one, wasn't it? Or was that the last
one? No, the Tobermory is the last.
The one she just did.
Right.
Yeah. Very tasty.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have at least one more Wee Small Bottle episode. which will be three age...
Aberfeldy.
You know, I think a 12-year, 18, and 25 that I got
nice.
Really cute little bottles from.
Yeah.
And then there is a fourth group of small bottles that I put away when the cleaning ladies were coming because I thought, I'm not going to let the cleaning ladies come and see my 14 tiny bottles of scotch sitting there. And now I can't find them. Kind of like the Becky Garrison book that I lost when we did
the... Well, and yeah, and the moonshine I lost.
Yeah, I know. So,
but we found them.
Eventually, found them. Yes. Yeah. So I have hopes that there will be a fourth episode, but God only knows. So,
she means a part four. It'll be like episode. Oh, yeah, it'll be like episode 69 at that point or something. Sorry. So,
it will.
Yeah. So, as Marla said, we're not going to do the water on this episode like we normally do because the bottles are just. We tried it with part one, and it just was kind of weird trying to put.
Yeah, you had like three drops of scotch left, and you put one drop of water in it. It's like, nah, no, that's quite a bit. Yeah,
yeah, a third of it was.
Yeah, it's hard to manage.
Yeah,
or actually,
when you're
a fourth
doing
of it.
Tiny bottles, you do have to. It just requires some thought there.
Mm. Well, it's the first time we've done tiny bottles, so that's now right. we now
yeah,
we know.
And I wasn't able to be at any of these distilleries, but. It's always interesting. I'm fascinated at what the Scots come up with for their whiskey, whether it's a blend or a single malt, and how they make using basically barley water and yeast, how they make everything come out different.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly both an art and a science.
Oh, so it's like that with, you know, all spirits,
yeah,
really, and beer. I mean, I know beer. You use different types of hops and malts and blah blah blah. But still, I mean, you could have a beer that seems to have the exact same everything in it, and it still seems to have a different flavor. So.
Oh yeah, two. You know, on paper they're identical batches, but they may come out very different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whiskey's the same. I mean, different roasting levels, different. Barley from different areas, you know, depending on what the soil's like, could have different flavors.
Well, and we tend to focus on the single malts, but the blends are also fascinating. We did a thing on blends not recently, but we did one, and there's kind of two areas. You know, Compass Box does a different blend for every edition that they create, and they're very good and very expensive. Mm-hmm. And then you have something like Dewars that uses their one blend, and they are amazingly consistent. You know, I can buy a bottle of Dewars now, and it will taste basically the same as the bottle of Dewars I bought 20 years ago. And it's given that there's, like with grapes, there's different growing seasons, there's different climate changes, there's different everything, and how they get that kind of consistency is really, they have amazing blenders and tasters that work there. So... Not all the artistry goes into single malts. You know, it goes into blends as well.
I was like, Blanton's, for example, they have different batches, which they always mark their bottle with the dirt. And I've had, you know, like bottle of Blanton's from one batch, and then there's another bottle. And they do have different flavors. And I have had some bottles of Blanton's I did not like as much as another bottle. So, I mean, it just really depends. On, I don't know, many things I have no knowledge of, apparently.
You're dealing with a blend of agriculture, climate, skill, and artistry, and it's like, whoa, you know? Well, so, yeah, we don't mean to trash any of the things.
No.
We will say, I like this better than this, or...
Well, that's why I said, don't, you know, this review of Sheep Dip is horrible, but I did not see this as horrible like this person did. And, you know, now do I plan to go searching for it for forever, like it's, you know...
The Holy Grail.
No.
Or the Holy Sheep.
Holy Sheep, he's gold with...
I know. That's the... Jason and the Argonauts.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got my mythology mixed up or something. But, you know, I don't. So, you know, read reviews.
listen to us, and then make your own determination.
Because we're all just telling you what we think when we taste it or smell it or whatever. And we all, like, I don't like Islay's, so, or I should say peaty scotches. So I'm not going to say, yeah, this is great. I just can't. I can say what I think it tastes like and be nice about it, but that's about it. But another example of, like, variations in agriculture and things like that would be different wines. Like, for instance, I now will not drink anything from New Zealand.
Oh.
The wines, anyway. Because... I think all the white wines, I can't drink red wine, it doesn't agree with me, but all white wines that I've had from New Zealand taste like a combination of grass and tobacco, and I can't stand it. Though I think I forget who I was with, and they said, "Oh, I love the New Zealand wines," and I'm like, "Here, have mine," because I just can't stand it. It just, I feel like it tastes horrible, but somebody must like it because they sell it all over the place. I just try to avoid, but I've been places where they don't actually tell you where the wine comes from, and you go, and I can tell you immediately that it's a New Zealand wine, though I have a horrible palate. I can tell you that much because I dislike it so much. So there's so much dependent on the soil, the environment. When it comes to doing any of these distillations of any kind.
Well, and I guess, basically the message is trust your own taste, or taste your own trust, depending on how that works. This should be a pleasant experience for you. I've had friends who never drank coffee or tea because, it's kind of bitter. And I'm like, bitter is one of the four main taste sensations. If you cut off bitter, you've cut off, a whole bunch of stuff. But they don't like it. So it's like, fine. And they won't drink red wine because, red wine has tannins in it. It's like, that's what I like about it. But that's the thing.
That's probably what makes me sick.
Probably. But that's the thing. Everyone responds differently to different things. So, we're trying to get some stuff out there for you to tell you about it, but you go and taste and just do your own thing.
Then there is our speech. We will get off our soapboxes now and go have dinner.
Okay.
That's right.
How's that? So come back again next time. We will have Wee Little Bottles Part 3. Have a good night or day or afternoon.
Wherever
you are.